This is CICK News.
So this would generally be done by the provider.
My hands are so cold, I am so sorry. It makes a really funky sound when the jaw goes on.
I'm really excited to
like, get
this.
Like white noise, but less pleasant.
In the public health office on Alfred Avenue in Smithers, an expectant mother lies with her belly exposed as perinatal nurse Dana Vokimoro listens for the baby's heartbeat. This is Nurse Vokimoro's first patient at the new unnamed maternity clinic for mothers of the Skeena region.
Oh, it's just the best sound ever.
In Northern Health, there are approximately 2,700 births each year, yet the region struggles with significant gaps in maternity care. Over 25% of those pregnancies are classified as high risk, marked by elevated rates of maternal obesity, mental health challenges, and substance use. These factors contribute not only to complex deliveries, but also to increased neonatal care needs, putting immense strain on an already stretched healthcare where many mothers still face obstacles such as geographic distance as well as access to healthcare. Service disruptions due to specialist shortages mean that high-risk patients are often transferred to distant facilities in Prince George, Kamloops, or Vancouver, leaving families to navigate significant travel and emotional burdens during critical times. Today on CICK News, we'll hear from healthcare providers at the new maternity clinic in Smithers the day after it opened about how this facility will bridge gaps in care. And here's the voice again of perinatal nurse Dana Vokimoro giving me the tour of the facilities.
We have seven physicians and one midwife. And then what we have here is we have two rooms that are virtually identical. And yeah, so basically we'll have moms and babies come in here from when mom finds out that she's pregnant until, you know, several weeks postpartum. We'll follow them from beginning to end.
Hi, I'm Helena Grubb, and I'm the Community Services Manager for Northern Health in Smithers.
I'm Dana Vokimoro. I'm the perinatal nurse here at the maternity clinic.
Cormac Hickish, Health Service Administrator for Smithers, Houston, Dease Lake, so Bulkley Valley, Stikine areas.
So what gap is this clinic filling in need for pregnant individuals in Northern Health?
I don't think this came about because of a gap. I think it really came about as a progressive, forward-looking opportunity where for many years in the Bulkley Valley, we've had an incredible resource in terms of providers committed to perinatal care. So the idea here is to have the providers working in tandem alongside a perinatal nurse and midwifery care, and provide a collaborative approach that is high quality, that provides consistent services. And then if there is transitions through retirements or through, you know, life changes, people can't provide service for a period of time, there's a fallback, there's sustainability. So that really is what caused this idea to come together. And it really was provider-led by the physicians and midwives of the area.
This maternity clinic has been an active project for nearly 2 years in Northern Health, with the last 4 to 6 months where most of the heavy lifting has happened.
Dana, when we were in that room together, the person whose heartbeat we got to share said how nice it was to have a dedicated nurse. Can you tell me what they meant by that?
Yeah, I think just the nurse that they'll see, which in this case would be myself, they will have basically see me from the moment they come in following conception to babies born and onward. And by having access to the same nurse throughout their pregnancy, I think it'll continue their story as they go forward for really good continuity of care.
Who's this clinic going to serve?
Yeah, so the physician group supports clients from Burns Lake, and then of course Houston, Smithers, Whitsett, and then if a patient wants to come from Dease Lake, they're open to that as well. They could be referred to the clinic. The provider group also indicated that they do support some of the midwifery services or upon request, essentially, from Hazleton, so there is that option as well. So.
Prince George has been developing its maternity model for some time and launched last month. Similarly, Terrace, Prince Rupert, and Fort St. John have established their own maternity clinics. each born from a shared experience of potential service interruptions and the need for collaborative solutions. While each clinic has its own unique story, they all reflect a common journey towards improving maternity care in the region.
Does the staff feel, I guess, equipped to handle the need in Northern Health? And then how is this working in tandem with the hospital?
Certainly the physicians and midwives and the nurses that support maternity care are all excited about the change that's happening. So I do think not just the opportunity to sustain high-quality maternity services, but the opportunity to see succession planning and to see sustained capacity is a big part of that. And so the same providers that families and women who are pregnant see here are the same providers that will be at the hospital. Okay. And so that same group of physicians and midwives work collaboratively both here in primary care and then also at the hospital. So it's coordinated, I guess, is the best way to look at it.
Could you kind of give me the types of pregnancies that this clinic is equipped to handle?
It's really important that women who are pregnant, you know, attend the primary care prenatal and postnatal postpartum visits because of understanding what the risk is for each individual's journey. And so the majority of those visits will happen here, even if you end up being at a risk level that your delivery might happen elsewhere. It's quite a low percentage of deliveries of Bulkley Valley residents that happen elsewhere. I don't have the stat in my head, but it's a low percentage. Mm-hmm. But the team here will support that journey. So the risk assessment happens through those primary care visits, mm-hmm. and then before you're ending up close to your delivery date, then there's some discussion around where that delivery might happen. The majority of those deliveries will happen at Bulkley Valley District Hospital. Some might happen at home if that's a choice, yeah. and some may happen elsewhere. So I think the biggest risk of challenge is the endless commitment to being available to deliver 24/7, right? A lot of babies come at night. Mm-hmm. I think more than 50%, Dana would know as a maternity nurse.
Yeah.
And so I have certainly seen many of our really dedicated physicians here late at night, early in the morning, coming through my hallway in administration, and you can tell they're tired, but they're committed.
There are also three main private clinics involved: Northern Roots Primary Care, Borealis Family Practice, and Witsinqua Family Medicine Center in Smithers. Women who are currently pregnant will transition based on their gestational age to the new maternity clinic. Specifically, those at 32 weeks or more will remain with their current provider, while others will move to the new clinic over the coming months. This maternity clinic is located at Smithers Public Health, 3793 Alfred Avenue, on the second floor of the courthouse building. Thank you to my guests, Cormac Hickish, Dana Volke-Morrow, and Helena Grubb, for the tour of the clinic. And an extra big thank you to the little person whose heartbeat we got to hear at the top of the story. Monday afternoon, on the frontage road at the corner of Highway 16, the Highway of Tears, and Queen Street in Smithers, a large motorhome pulled over and two people got out of the vehicle, set up two lawn chairs, and waited in the shade. Vanessa Brousseau and her partner drove this motorhome from Timmins, Ontario, to come to BC's North to raise awareness for Vanessa's sister, Pamela Holopainen, who went missing from Timmins in 2003. The sides of the motorhome have posters with the number of the Timmins, Ontario Police Department and photos of Pamela. Brousseau is also known as Resilient Inuk, and her vehicle is Rolling Resistance.
My name is Vanessa Brousseau. Rolling Resilience is a motorhome that I purchased last year. This is my second year coming here to this territory. And I bought it last year in hopes to raise more awareness about missing and murdered Indigenous people, as my sister, Pamela Holopainen, has been missing now for 22 years. A lot of families aren't being heard. A lot of advocates aren't being heard. So I try to go community to community and amplify them and their voice and what they're doing. And then I also get to meet with other families, because that's the hardest part, is being a family member of a missing loved one. A lot of people don't understand.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Nice to meet you, Jackie.
Nice to meet you, Jackie.
I'm Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Nice to meet you.
Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
What a beautiful place, eh?
Beautiful. I love it.
It's gorgeous. All the water, the mountains, the trees. It's really nice.
Yeah. So how about you tell us about something about you guys? What's your mandate? What's your mission?
So my mission is, it comes from me being a family member. That's why I started this, is because my sister's been missing for 22 years. And some people say, well, 22 years, that's a long time. You should just move forward. Well, just in January, the police approached me for my DNA, because all these years my sister didn't have a DNA profile.
And it's not their fault, but it's really nice to be able to meet with other families who do. So that's another part of why Rolling Resilience exists. It's very empowering to be doing what I'm doing, but it's also a lot of hard work. This didn't just happen overnight. And even though I say I just started last year, this is something I've worked really hard on, by healing first in order to be able to talk to people in a kind way. You know, it's so important for other people to see that, yes, we have traumas, and yes, we have a lot of history, but that doesn't define us. I feel like I've tried many things in advocating, and the one thing I found beneficial was being with the people. I've lived in Ottawa, I've protested, I've attended marches. I shut down Yonge Street in Toronto, okay? I've done all those things, but none of them made me feel like how I feel when I get to connect with community.
Yeah. Where have you gone today? It seems like it's been busy already.
I woke up in Fraser Lake, mm-hmm. and I stopped at Burns Lake.
Yep.
And then I stopped at Houston, and now I'm here at Smithers for the night. But I'm going all the way to Prince Rupert. So last year I was here for a week. This year I'm staying for over 2 weeks, because it wasn't enough. So, and I know maybe next year will end up being a month.
Yeah. And what's your territory, and where do you live? So where's this actually kind of, where's your starting point?
Okay, so my mom is from Sanikiluwek, Nunavut, which is in the Arctic. But she was born and raised in Moose Factory. So I actually was born and raised in Ontario. So this is where my motorhome comes from. I live in North Bay, Ontario now. I've been there for a few years now. But I grew up in Timmins, Ontario, which is a northern community as well as in Ontario. But yeah, I'm just waiting for personalized plates too. I'm going to have the plates that say "For you, Pamela." So I'm really, yeah, it's all coming together every year. So
how long does this take to organize something like this?
And all by myself. People don't understand, like, I always post videos every day, but I always believe that whoever you're meant to connect with, just like you today, you'll show up, right? So I just put it out there and put myself out there and hope that people come, and if they do, they do, and if they don't, that's okay too. So
So if anyone listening west of us hears this, what do you want them to know? But when they see your motorhome show up,
honk your horn, show your love. Pull over, come say hi, get a button, get a postcard, take a picture, post it online. That's how we're making awareness. So, you know, just know that I'm not trying to hurt anybody or take away from anyone. I'm trying to bring. So, yeah.
Was there anything I didn't ask that you think is important to include in this?
I am not funded by grants. A lot of people think that, you know, I'm not funded by any grants, zero. I do this all out of either working hard for myself or by community donating. So I do have a GoFundMe as well. And my website is resilientinukcreations.ca.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank you.
My name is Jackie Bowes.
We're standing here where Rolling Resilience, the motorhome, is by Vanessa Pousseau. And you two actually just had a really beautiful exchange where you asked Vanessa, what is her mandate? She told you, and then you shared a story as well. What does it mean to show up and to kind of constantly have to advocate for your own family?
Well, as I was saying, that we don't choose to be advocates for the MMIW. We are obligated in this role, and the only way that we can actually challenge the status quo that it's currently in right now is to really make noise, make the awareness, and also just constantly fighting for the justice for our loved ones. We were speaking about how all the MMIW are creating a community to support one another, because when you're reliant on outside entities, you know, it's just, it's basically falling on deaf ears. And that's what we're doing today, you know, like she's traveling and we want to support her. We want to be her ally, and we want to be a community. And when you create that space for understanding, then you start working together in unity, and that's what needs to happen. And I hope that everybody along the route that she's traveling will support her and meet her and greet her and tell your story about your loved one.
Diana Johansson played three songs for Vanessa, including the Wet'suwet'en Women's Water Song, which we heard a small portion of, to wish her safe journey as she continued west from Smithers. To learn more, follow Vanessa online at Resilient Inuk on Facebook and Instagram. And the last story for CICK News for June 4th, Youth on Farms is part of Groundbreakers, an employment program for young people in the Bulkley Valley. Youth on Farms has responded to the community need for more casual labor. And Mark Fisher, the program coordinator, is speaking to me about that today.
Well, Youth on Farms is a part of Groundbreakers, and it has run an employment program since 2011. There's various components to Youth on Farms. So one is how it started was with the summer employment program, where we get grants and we work with local producers to place people between 15 and 30 on local farms, getting them hands-on work experience. Another side of Youth on Farms is training programs. So we do some first aid training and some small tool maintenance and a little bit of carpentry, and then some just general farm-related sessions, occupational therapy kind of sessions. Yeah, so that's the training part of Youth on Farms that goes along with the summer employment program. Something that we've been thinking about for years, and is actually how the summer employment program started, is that there's a kind of a need from producers for a more casual type of labor rather than a part-time or full-time summer placement. That's how it started, Youth on Farms, where the youth went from farm to farm doing different jobs. We moved into more of a full-time placement, but there's still interest in having people help out on random one-off work bees. And that's where this year we're putting a little energy into. We're calling it the Work Bee program, and it's evolving thanks to Andrea Franco, who's a volunteer with Rise Up.
The program Rise Up is a provincial initiative designed to connect individuals interested in food systems and organizations with relevant opportunities. It facilitates matching participants with local food producers to gain the experience and to complete their projects.
I grew up in a farming community where a producer could just call this organization, and young people like myself called up, got our names on a list. We'd load on a bus, we'd go out to the cornfields and corn to tassel for days on end kind of thing. So it was like a win-win, because it just took that extra burden off producers when they really needed it and they didn't have the time and they didn't have to manage payroll. It's all done through this third party. So That's the idea with Youth on Farms in general, and then also the Volunteer Work Bee program. It's a chance for people to test that out. Like, farming is, it's not rocket science, but it's not straightforward. And sometimes people think they want to do that, and then they realize it is hard work.
Can you volunteer, and would you accept them, and you just kind of let them try things?
Totally. That's the idea, again, just to get some experience and see what it's like. Yeah. And we do want to work with producers, whether it's a farmer or a community organization that has a food program that want to teach and will take the time. It's not a free labor program. It's not the summer employment program. It's a volunteer work bee program for people like exactly what you're saying, with not much experience, can just get their feet wet, get some instructions. The partners we choose will take the time to show a few things, teach a few things. Everyone walks away learning something and also doing a bunch of work that needs to get done to create a better food system in the valley.
Yeah. What about some dates that are coming up, or ways that people can connect with Youth on Farms?
Yeah. So I'll just mention that the summer employment program, we're all booked up with that. We've got 8 youth this year. We have about 12 producers and working all together to fill everybody's needs and give some full-time jobs. But in terms of other opportunities, there are going to be continue to do have worked bees on various farms throughout the valley, perhaps community organizations as well. There's potential we can work with the community garden or other organizations to put on little workshops and work bees. The next one is June 12th, and it's going to be at True North Acres. They're going to show us a bunch of stuff and get a few things done. So if there's anybody between 15 and 20 or 15 and 30 interested in just seeing what it's all about, then that would be a good opportunity to do that. They're a great producer, local producer, committed to that.
The Youth on Farms program is open for individuals between the ages of 15 and 30 who are able to get themselves around. And by that, I mean you have someone to drive you to these work locations, or you yourself have a driver's license. And it is open for individuals between Houston and Hazleton. Thank you very much to Mark Fisher for taking the time to speak with me today. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.